You're listening to WBH Radio. My name is William Holly, recording here at the beautiful campus of Brooklyn College. Special shout out to all the students here at the radio station at my WBCR. They got your boy taken care of today, man. They finally put the air conditioner on. It's been a rough last couple of weeks, blazing hot in this booth. But today I'm all covered, man. Thank you. Monday night, we got to witness the heavyweight bout we've been waiting for. Seeming like we've been waiting for this since December. The Golden State Warriors went up against the Houston Rockets. The Golden State Warriors were able to come out on top, taking a 1-0 lead in the Western Conference Finals. Most of my adult life, I've been focused on the conversation of results versus process. You know, which matters most? Is it best to just get your results by any means? Or is it best to focus on the process? You know, kind of slow it down and really hone in on the steps and methods to achieve something. Now, people make arguments for both. They say results, man. Get it any means, by any way. I would disagree with that. I would say it's best to focus on the process. Because if you slow down and focus on the process, you're more likely to maximize your potential. You're more likely to be able to duplicate that in any endeavor, thus getting more favorable results every time. Those that rob and steal and cheat to get favorable results, that's going to eventually catch up to you. Results can be misleading. Like, wow, I got an A on my test today, even though I didn't study. Yeah, try that BS again. End up failing that class. So results can be misleading. And I think the Rockets' results all season have been misleading. Yes, you are the number one team in the Western Conference. Yes, you secured home court in the Western Conference playoffs. Yes, you have the league's MVP in James Harden. All great results. But I think they've been misleading. I think they have glaring weaknesses that they have not addressed. Because they open the newspaper and it says, wow, you guys are great. Because they turn on ESPN and everybody's saying these guys are great. Because your fans say, yo, we're great because we're number one. No. Because your process was out of whack. If you thought that you could shoot 35-foot jumpers and you take yourself to the NBA championship, you were wrong. If you thought you could not pay attention, not focus on defense, and that was going to bring you to an NBA championship, you're wrong. Your results have always been misleading. I got a young niece, Nala Rose. She could roll out of her bed and get an A on a test. Say, uncle, look what I did in school. I said, okay, great results, baby, but that is not what I want you to focus on. I want you to focus on no matter what obstacle is in front of you, you work hard. If you got a science test, math test, you study your behind off. Well, the test is going to be easy, this, that. I don't care about the results or what's in front of you. I want you to always focus on that process because you can duplicate that in any endeavor in life. Schoolwork, athletics, business. If you have your foundation, your process is in order, you will always get the results you want. The Rockets has been out of whack all season. And we saw it Monday night. They came out guns blazing. James Harden hitting bomb after bomb. Thinking that first quarter they were up early, 12-3. Again, misleading results. It's impossible for him to keep that up for a full game. Especially when you got a defense that's focusing on him. But the Golden State Warriors, that's a team that really hones in on their process. They weren't fazed by that early run by the Rockets. They kept just chipping away. KD would catch the ball in the post, turn around, jump shot. Every time. Sometimes he made it, sometimes he missed it. But they were hell-bent on focusing on their process. They weren't chasing any specific results. The Golden State Warriors said, this is what we do. We're going to dump it into KD. He's going to do what he do. Turn around, jump shot after jump shot. I haven't seen that post play since Phil Jackson in the triangle, whether it be with Michael Jordan or Kobe Bean Bryant. And then when KD would catch it in the post, jump shot, then he would have a cutter flash into the lane, drop it off, layup. See, the process is going to always ensure you have a favorable result. That's the trick to that conversation, result versus process. It's a no-brainer. The Golden State Warriors were phenomenal, and they've been that way for years now. When I was playing college basketball, we might be playing a team who is not as good as us. We could be up 20 points, but you would still see me yelling my head off towards my teammates. Because, again, it's not about these guys in front of us. It's not about the result we have today of winning. It's about maximizing our potential. It's about focusing in on the process so that we can duplicate this next week when we have a tougher opponent. And we've seen that from the Warriors, right? We've seen Draymond get in KD's face even when they're winning, even when they're up. What's he telling you? The goal is to just keep on getting better. The Rockets have not been able to do that, and they're not going to be able to do that this series. They haven't been getting better on the fly. We know the story of the Rockets. When they hit jump shots, great. When they don't, people go on TV and say, oh, I don't think the Rockets wanted it last night. They look lethargic. They look uninterested. Because they refuse to fill some of the gaps in their game. Hey, Mike D'Antoni, you cannot shoot 40-foot jump shots and win an NBA championship. You've been a head coach for years now at three different spots. It's not going to work. Mike D'Antoni, you cannot neglect defense and expect to win an NBA championship. See, you bamboozled the NBA fans, the Houston Rockets fans, with your results this year of the number one seed, of the MVP. But had you focused on the process of getting better every day, every week, you would not be in a position where you're about to get the doors blown off by Golden State Warriors. That was the game you had to win. You guys wanted the number one seed so you could have home court advantage. You wanted the number one seed so you could walk in that building, have your crowd stand on its feet. The energy in there was phenomenal. James Harden scored 41 points. And y'all weren't able to close it out? That was y'all best game. What other tricks do you have under the sleeve? None. None. Man, the Golden State Warriors are phenomenal, man. I got to give it to you. KD reminded us why we hated the move of him going to the Golden State Warriors. He is a phenomenal talent, man. Anything you could want in a basketball player. He shoots the ball at a great clip from deep. His ball handling skills, he's 7 feet. He's dropping the ball off. He has a great vision now when he's in the post. I don't know why you guys are so quick to say LeBron James is the best player in the world when there's a Kevin Durant out there. I don't get it. And as I record this podcast, my boy DA just texted me and said, yo, it was cool to see KD guard James Harden the whole game. And sure enough, he did. The Golden State Warriors are a machine. A machine. And the Rockets, I don't believe, are ready for that. And they've never been ready for that. Never. If you've heard any time I've been on this mic, any one of my podcasts, that's always been a story. Guys, don't be fooled by what's taking place in the regular season. It's those misleading results I've spoken about. Those results were built on a fraudulent foundation. That series is not even going to be close. It's not. It can't be. The Houston Rockets don't have a different gear. Don't have a different style. If you're the Houston Rockets, let's take a look at this. You're looking at the Golden State Warriors. offensively, you guys are an equal match. Houston Rockets score at a great clip. They sure do. But so do the Golden State Warriors. So that's a wash. Then what's the next aspect? Defense. Rockets ain't played defense in years. Mike D'Antoni, the head coach of Rockets, hasn't coached defense in years. Not in the Lakers, not in the Knicks, not in the Suns, and damn sure not in Houston. The Golden State Warriors, for all of the celebration they get for their offense, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Kevin, they play that defense, man. Per 100 possessions per game, their defense is tops near the top of the league. See, back in the day, teams were being held to 80 points. So those statistics would say that, well, the Golden State Warriors are allowing 100 points per game. But you got to understand, there's more possessions nowadays. The games are sped up. So because they allowed 100 points doesn't mean they're not playing good defense. The Golden State Warriors are the best of both worlds, defense and offense. So when the Houston Rockets fall short, I don't want you to say, yo, they choked. They did not choke. This is who they are, have been all season. Fireworks and flash, but no substance. This is who they've been all year. There was only one team in the league that could expose them, and that's the Golden State Warriors. The Eastern Conference Finals got underway Sunday. LeBron James going up against, dang, I said LeBron James. That's the Cleveland Cavaliers going up against the Boston Celtics. The Celtics rolled over the Cleveland Cavaliers. And the LeBron apologist said, well, he's always bad in game one. He's tired. You guys can't have it both ways. You can't walk in and say LeBron is about to get these guys, and then when he loses, make excuses for him. And I want to go back to my process versus results. Myself and some of the guys that come on the show, DA, we sounded like crazy people early on in the playoffs when we said, yo, LeBron James is leaving a lot of plays out there on the court. But his supporters were like, yo, Willie, he had 40 points. Again, misleading results. If LeBron James went to the post every time versus the Pacers, he could have had 65 points. So I'm asking you, in all honesty, being for real, if you have the capabilities to score 65 points and you only score 40, is that success? No, you're still underachieving. Against the Raptors, yo, LeBron is killing, man. He left plays out there on the court. He could have done more. Didn't Kobe Bryant score 81 points against the Raptors? Yes, two different teams, but I'm just telling you the capabilities that are out there on the NBA court. So game one, LeBron James walks away with 15 points because he refuses to go in the post, because he is dribbling the ball on the outside, not being an offensive weapon. Dribbling the ball for 15 seconds, not being an offensive weapon. Now, against the Raptors and the Pacers, that type of play may still get you 30 points. All right, cute. That's not going to work against the Celtics. That's not going to work against a team that got five people that could guard you. Jaylen Brown, Morris, Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, Al Horford. See, as these playoff rounds go on and the competition becomes stiffer, your true colors will come to the light. LeBron, if you went to the post every time, who could stop you? I'll wait. The Boston Celtics were truly phenomenal that day, just getting offensive contributions from everywhere. Everywhere. But as much as I want to credit them, I'm always going to go to the best player in the conference. I'm always going to go to the best player in the series, and that's LeBron James. You have the keys to that whole series. whatever you want to do. And if you're going to play that lethargic brand of basketball, that disinterested brand of basketball, your team is not going to be successful. Yeah, that could get you through the Raptors and the Pacers, but not in the Eastern Conference Finals. And I want to ask you guys, has there ever been a great player in any sport where we've questioned their desire more than LeBron James? Question whether he wants to be there or not. You can say what you want about Kobe and his warts. That's never been a conversation. Michael Jordan, never, man. That would be laughable. Fox Sports analyst Skip Bayless, when he was at First Take, he made a career off of questioning LeBron's heart. A career. Now, whether you agree with him or not, the mere fact that he can make an argument is not good for LeBron James. It's not good. And that game Sunday, we've seen it too many times. Yo, Bron, knock, knock, are you here with us? Are you here with us? I like to listen to Fox's Colin Cowherd. Every time he comes on, every time his show starts, he has an opening rant. And on that rant, he uses real-life situations and ties them through sports. I think it's pretty cool. You know, whether you agree with it or not, it's cool to pull off every episode. And after LeBron James lost that game to the Boston Celtics, his rant was along the lines of, the Boston Celtics have been preparing for LeBron since the previous offseason. You know, everybody in the East is chasing down LeBron. So they're really focused. They're really hyped up. And he says, LeBron James is not really focused on any particular opponent. You know, he's not focused on a Marcus Morris. He has other things on his mind, bigger things on his mind. You know, he likened it to a young producer meeting famed movie producer Steven Spielberg. You know, the young producer's probably like, damn, I got lunch with Spielberg. What should I wear? What should I eat? And Steven Spielberg probably has to call his secretary and remind him, like, yo, who am I meeting with again? Oh, okay. Shit, I can relate to that. I had the privilege of meeting Stephen A. I'm like, dang, so I got to put my best suit on. Stephen A. probably don't even remember that encounter. But I would ask Colin Cowherd, LeBron James has more important things on his mind than getting to the NBA Finals? What the hell could be on his mind more than tackling the Boston Celtics at this point in time, getting to the NBA Finals? Man, you LeBron supporters, you LeBron zealots have gone too far now. He has not gotten it done all postseason, and now it's coming to the light. Now, I'm interested to see how he bounces back. I think LeBron James is a very smart basketball player. I think he's stubborn. He is not comfortable being an offensive weapon for a whole game. But that's what it's going to take to get through this series and any series after this. You have to be in attack mode, LeBron. You can't bounce the ball at the three-point line till the shot clock goes down and then pass it off to somebody. And when you win, you can't say, yeah, I really helped to find those guys and create opportunities for them. And then when you lose, tell me, yo, my teammates ain't good enough. Or allow the media to send that narrative out. Nah, Bron, it can't be both ways. Thank you for listening to WBH Radio. It's your boy, William Holly. Please follow me on Twitter at WBH Radio. Yo, the NFL cannot stay out of trouble, huh? Usually it's the players that find themselves in all types of mess. But not this time. The players are off the hook. This time it is a coach, somebody on the ownership side, somebody on the management side, the quote-unquote adult in the room. Detroit Lions new coach Matt Patricia. It recently came out that over 20 years he was arrested for sexual assault. Now, to Matt's credit, he wasn't convicted of anything. The victim opted to not move forward with any charges. You know, we've seen that many a times. They don't want to have to deal with going to court, sitting in the courtroom with them, bringing up old stuff. So we've seen that before. Matt Patricia was not, he never went to trial. The charges were just ultimately dropped. First, I want to say shout out to the media for going up and getting this stuff. I mean, they don't hesitate to investigate these players. So shout out to them for going after the coach with the same vigor. You know, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. Now, the question is, what is the NFL going to do? And then what are the Lions going to do? The Lions have stood behind the coach. And that's not a surprise to me. Now, they could tell you they believe in the coach, they believe in the judicial system and the process, and he wasn't convicted. All right, cool. You could buy that if you want to. I think the only reason they're standing behind him is because of financial reasons. Matt Patricia just signed his contract. If they were to fire him right now, they would be giving him all of that money he would be getting would be damn near free money. He hasn't performed any duties of the contract yet. It's not like he's performed 80% of it and then they could fire him and just be down 20%. No, he just signed this year. If they were to send him away, that would be free money. And you know, these businesses, these corporations, no matter how much money they earn, they're not into giving away free money. So when the Lions brain trust sits down and they say, damn, this is a PR nightmare. What should we do? Should we separate from him? The owner's probably like, yo, I ain't paying him to walk away to the sunset. Now, he's going to earn some of this money. He's going to be our coach. Now, had he been with the team for years, had he performed 90% of his contract, 80%, 75%, half of it, I think it would be a different conversation. I think they would really be contemplating, dang, should we let him go? But since he's new to the job, the ink hasn't even signed on that contract. They're going to keep him around. I think this case also highlights the lack of leadership in a lot of these organizations. You hire somebody to one of your most senior positions in your franchise. Honestly, the face of your franchise, the quarterback and the coach. And you don't know he was arrested for sexual assault. The NFL has all the resources at its disposal. You don't know something like that? Because you guys are lazy. Well, the Patriots had them, so we only have to go as far back as the Patriots. It shows the lack of leadership. These guys are just recycling individuals in the coaching ranks. Do your own due diligence. Research. That's why these guys get fired and hired. They just freaking, it's ancestral. Well, he was good enough to coach that team. All right, bring him over here. Nobody is really innovative at the top of these organizations. Yo, let's go find the next Bill Belichick. So had these organizations truly been diligent, had the Detroit Lions really did their work, they wouldn't be caught in this situation. You handed somebody millions of dollars and you don't know his history. Because you're lazy when it comes to the search. You just look at the smartest guy and then pick the person next to him. Man, y'all deserve all the backlash coming your way. Whatever y'all face, all good. Now, that's the Detroit Lions. Again, I believe they're sticking with him for financial reasons only. But the NFL, the league as a whole, what are you guys going to do? Now, me, I believe that we pay a price for freedom in this country. And it's not always the prettiest thing. But I truly believe that we got to pay some sort of price. Now, I can go out tonight and have a nice drink with my friends and party. But with that freedom comes the possibility of drunk driving incidents. Right? In the American legal system, America says, hey, we can't see everything. So there might be times when we let guilty people go free. Because we don't want to punish an innocent. So since we can't be perfect, we're going to err on the side of, hey, some guilty folks are going to slip through the cracks. That's the price we're willing to pay to be a free nation. I'm cool with that. But the NFL in its recent history said, no. We're going to be the moral authority. Forget what the courts say. The court said Ray Rice wasn't guilty of anything when he assaulted his wife. We don't care. We're going to take it a step further, and we're going to suspend him. Greg Hardy wasn't guilty of anything when he was accused of throwing his girlfriend on a bed full of rifles. The NFL said, no. We're going to be the moral authority. Get him out of here. Ezekiel Elliott, last year, Dallas Cowboys running back. Again, he didn't serve any jail time. He wasn't guilty of anything. The NFL said, nah, we're going to show how tough we are. Well, NFL, you got a head coach that was accused of sexual assault. There was an indictment that had 6 witnesses, to include the doctors she came in contact with that night, the nurses, the police officers that say, hey, this went down. So what's up, NFL? What y'all going to do? Your history shows that the legal system's finding is not enough for you guys. You guys are taking it a step further. So I'm ready to see what y'all going to do, man. The clock is ticking. You had no problem suspending Ezekiel Elliott. You had no problem suspending Greg Hardy. You had no problem freaking damn near ending Ray Rice's career. Now what you going to do? Man, y'all gave Tom Brady games for inflated footballs. Now you got a head coach that is accused of a gang rape? And y'all just going to let it sit? And the official NFL statement says we're monitoring the situation. Man, that's a lack of leadership. The inconsistency is a lack of leadership. And this is evidence of why you guys need to stay away from stuff like this. Let's go back to Ray Rice. Ray Rice, you know, he had the incident with his wife. His wife actually went to the commissioner's office with Ray Rice and said, hey, this was a family incident. It was horrible, but I'm sticking by my man. You guys chose to ignore her. You guys chose to victimize her again. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but your words don't matter. We're going to suspend your men. Really? That's what y'all going to do? See, what you should have done, this is what a leader would have done. Leaders make unpopular decisions. You guys have suspended Ray Rice, then the tape came out, and y'all made him disappear for a whole season. You guys were reactionary. That's a lack of leadership. Leaders have foresight. When that tape came out, had you stood up and said, dang, this is gruesome, this is bad, but we've already spoke with Mr. Rice and his wife. We're going to stick with his initial suspension, and we're going to move forward. Then the media would have died down like, damn, man. But when the media saw they had you on the ropes, that's when they kept poking and prodding. And then you guys end up backpedaling and freaking suspended Ray Rice. It's kind of like when you mess with your little sister. If you see you're bothering her, you could keep going. But if she's not fazed, you get bored and move over. Had Roger Goodell just stood up with that Ray Rice situation and said, I've seen it. It's gruesome. We're going with the 4-game suspension. And we're going to move forward. But now you guys backpedaling. Now every time something comes up, the people are looking for you to do something. That's the standard you have set. So if you guys just sit on your hands on this one, that's going to be a horrible look. And not because I feel a certain way about the case. Again, I told you, in America, we are on the side of dang, some innocent, some guilty folks may be set free. So if the courts say he's not guilty, I'm okay with that. But you guys wanted to stick your nose in these matters and become the moral authority. Now do something. You already set that standard. Now do something. And NFL owners, you guys just gave him the biggest raise in commissioner history. You gave him a private jet, healthcare for life. All y'all mothers clowns, man. All y'all's clowns. Y'all look like a freaking circus act as a whole. All of you, all of these situations were handled poorly. What else we got going on? I told you guys about my internship with the New York Yankees last year. Had a front row seat to the historical Aaron Judge rookie season. I was able to get a signed Derek Jeter jersey on the day his number was retired in Yankee Stadium. How about that? I got to interact with one of my favorite Yankees of all time, and that was the great CC Sabathia. Got to hang at a few private events with him. But there was one Yankee I wish I would have been able to meet, but he was already gone by the time I got there. And that was Mr. Robinson Cano. Robbie Cano is now in Seattle playing for the Mariners. And it came down today that he is going to be suspended for steroid use or PED use. Man, son, you want to talk about brokenhearted, yo. Damn, they got my dog Cano. 80-game suspension. I don't know what to do with these suspensions anymore. And I don't know if my frustration is with the league, the player. It's just weird to crucify these guys in public, suspend them, embarrass them, and then still allow them to play under the contract they earned. Still allow them to be on the front street in front of the fans. I just don't know what to do with it. It's similar to when the NCAA vacates championships after it found out a university cheated. Like, I can't go back in time and forget everything that I saw and experienced. So I don't know what I want baseball to do, but it's something that leaves an uneasy feeling. Still seeing Ryan Braun play baseball. Still seeing Melky Cabrera play baseball. If you're not going to get these guys before they get their contract and essentially steal from organizations, if you're not going to get these guys before they put up astronomical numbers, then I don't know, man. Like, leave it alone or something. But for him to be here one day, celebrate all these great things with Melky and Robbie and Braun, and then banish them, punish them, embarrass them, and then they just show back up like everything is okay, still making the same money they did when they were big-time hitters. And in the case of A-Rod, now he's Major League Baseball's darling. He's on TV. Everybody loves him. Like, what's the point of punishing them? And, yo, with this PED situation, I am interested to see what A-Rod is going to say. He's a baseball analyst now, right? Please, somebody forward me A-Rod's comments. What the hell could he say about Robinson Cano getting suspended for PEDs? What could A-Rod say? It's bad? As much needles as they accuse him of sticking in his body? Oh, the guy on 60 Minutes said A-Rod has steroid gummy bears. That's next level, son. You put your steroids in something as innocent and sweet as a gummy bear candy? Jesus. But A-Rod's the type of dude that has no shame. I wouldn't be surprised if he went up there and crucified Robbie. As if he's never been accused or as if he's never been suspended for PED use. Speaking of crooked, it came out that the Supreme Court is going to allow major sports gambling throughout the 50 states. Now, I don't care about gambling. I've never played a fantasy sport a day in my life, so the luxury of having your own show is you could talk about what matters to you. You know, but I'm not unaware of the impact it plays in a lot of people's lives, and that is the reason a lot of people are interested in sports. And I found it interesting that Mark Cuban said that the price of sports franchises are going to double with this ruling. I'm like, double? The Clippers just sold for $2 billion. Now the Los Angeles Clippers might be worth $4 billion? And it makes sense. We know how much America loves this gambling. And the NBA commissioner has spoken about possibly the NBA getting a portion of all gambling done in his sport. That does increase the value of those teams. Man, that's a crazy observation. And shout out to all them folks that own an NBA team or a sports team. Y'all stock just went through the roof. The Raptors fired their coach after losing to LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. I thought that was truly sad, but possibly necessary. Possibly necessary. The last 3 years, they have been ousted by LeBron James, haven't been able to tackle him. And we all saw this loss seemed a bit different because it put the Raptors in a place where there's nowhere else to go. They have the bench. They have all-star caliber players. They have great role players. They had somebody who just won Coach of the Year by his peers. Where else do you go? How do you sell to your team, hey, man, let's do this again and get ready for this run next year? You had to do something to break up the monotony, bring in a new voice. And with the NBA guaranteed contracts, you can't get rid of DeMar DeRozan. You can't get rid of Kyle Lowry. So it seems that the Raptors were forced into getting rid of their coach. And business plays a large part in these sports. Don't forget it, y'all. It ain't just about winning and wearing a shiny ring. These owners want to know, yo, what that money looking like? And a big part of it is season ticket holders. Dog, how can you excite your fan base about coming back for another season when after the best season in franchise history, they still get swept? Those fans know that's not going to be duplicated. So you need something to sell to them. A little crack in the door to say, hey, man, we got a chance. And the franchise seemed handcuffed with the roster, so all they could do was bring in a new coach. And that's unfortunate for Dwayne Casey. But I understand. I understand. Philadelphia 76ers coach said that his team needs to land a big free agent. When I hear leaders make comments like this, I said, man, I'm destined for great things in this country. Because if that's my competition, man, I'm going to run circles around these dudes. Brett Brown, you got an all-star center, Joel Embiid. You got the number one draft pick in Ben Simmons. And you have another one draft pick in Markelle Fultz. How could you make such a proclamation that, yo, we need to get a big-name free agent? Especially after you just lost a series. We don't want to hear that from you. We want to hear you talk about getting better as a coach. We want to hear you talk about honing the skills of a young talent and helping them develop. We don't want to see you with your hand out begging for more. And the second part to that is, hey, Mr. Brett Brown, what if you don't land one of those free agents? Now you boxed in because you told us you needed one. You told us you needed one. So if you don't get it, then what? You going to turn to your team and say, yo, we good enough anyway? No, not when you just said what gaps you need to fill. So be careful saying stuff like that. Yo, this is what we need. Man, if I was one of those reporters this time next year, if they don't get one, I'd be like, yo, Brett Brown, y'all good enough to win? He'd be like, oh, yeah, yeah, we are. But didn't you say you needed a free agent? These dudes is clowns, man. I'm sorry. I'm recording this on Tuesday afternoon, so I will not be able to record. I will not be able to record the results of Tuesday night's game two of the Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Boston Celtics. But when I see the Boston Celtics' success, it makes me wonder how Kyrie is experiencing this. Is he happy? Does it make him look in the mirror and say, dang, maybe I'm not that valuable since this team is rocking without me? But I reached out to my boy DA. He was like, nah, I think Kyrie is happy. Kyrie understands that, yo, I got all these supporting members around me. We should be a dynasty for a while. And I said, man, you're right. These guys are a supporting cast. Because even as great as Terry Rozier has been all playoff, it's like night and day on the road. On the road, he's not the same player. But Kyrie, we seen him go in other people's gym and show out. We seen him go into Golden State and hit the biggest shot in Cavaliers history. So, yeah, even though this team is doing well, I think they will go to a next level with Kyrie. And hopefully Kyrie knows that as well. Watching Boston makes me think about another player and what the Boston Celtics stock is doing to him. And that's Lakers guard, soon-to-be free agent Isaiah Thomas. Man, what was Isaiah Thomas's claim to fame? That little guy drug the Boston Celtics to the Eastern Conference Finals. Well, damn, they back there without him. So what does that do to Isaiah Thomas's stock? It had already plummeted after his stint in Cleveland, already plummeted after his stint in Los Angeles. Now, when I look at the Boston Celtics still playing well without him, it makes me turn to Isaiah and say, damn, well, how valuable are you really? So, man, this dude might have really lost $150 million this year. Truly. We thought he was a special little guy, but it seems to be plug and play. No matter who's in that position, Terry Rozier, Kyrie, Jaylen Brown, seems that position is successful. So I wish Isaiah Thomas the best, man. Jeez. But his stock is falling. That's WBH Radio. My name is William Holly. Thanks for listening, man. Hit me on Twitter @WBH Radio. I'm out.